It seems like a long time since I have spoken here, which I think was sometime in the 2000s. But I did speak with more regularity for 28 years at Women's Bible Study. So it's lovely to be here and to look at all your faces, and I look forward to getting to meet some of you. I want to thank, first of all, Patty and Kristen for inviting me to be a speaker, because this was really a very deep and interesting journey for me as I thought about hope. And so I'm probably the best beneficiary of it that will probably stay with me hopefully a little bit longer. But I thought we could start on the question, sort of, when you think about hope, what pops into your mind? So could a few of you just, what jingles to you when you think about hope? Future. Very good. I'm going to talk a smidge about that. Thank you. Great thought. Anyone else? Eternity. Okay. Yes. Trust. Perfect. So hope is, even though it feels somewhat like a soft word, or, and I think it can feel a bit elusive, and I found the dictionary definition to be quite paltry. I kind of like that word, paltry. Their definition is the feeling that what is wanted can be had, or that the event will turn out for the best. So this definition kind of reminds me of my most recent making of biscuits. I rolled out the dough on my, on my granite top, and had those little rings and made it, put it in the oven, was so excited, and I turned on the light and looked in there, and they weren't expanding into all those little flaky layers. And then I reread the recipe, and I'd forgotten to put in baking powder. So that was a bum. But hope for me seems to be a deep longing, a deep desire, and a yearning. It's a very tiny word, but it is future-oriented. So I began to wonder, when did I first become aware of a hope? So what came to me was, when I was 5 years old, I was in Tokyo, and I was going to a French Catholic school there. My dad was a pilot for Japan Airlines. And I wanted, I think it was probably each week, as I walked up to this box, I wanted, it was a box full of veils, and I wanted to pull out a pretty veil. And I have no idea. I assume maybe it was, we had maybe went to chapel. We weren't Catholics, but this school went from kindergarten all the way through college. And then I thought when I was, I thought about, okay, when I was 13, I hoped for my birthstone ring. And then when I was a freshman at Miramani, the person I asked to the Sadie Hawkins dance, I hoped he would say yes. And that person was Bob Martin. So he became my husband 8 years later. However, he didn't answer me right back until I had to go back and ask him, and he was hoping Christina Wahlstrom would ask him. Well, too bad for Christina. I came out the winner. And I didn't like the idea of dying. So I hoped that I would live to be 90, which seemed a long ways away from being 17. And now it's feeling quite in the near future. The most significant change in my life to that point changed at the beginning of my senior year at Miramani. I began to attend a youth group called Young Life. It was held at Mike Lynn's restaurant at the Crossroads in Orinda that was closed on Monday night. 200 kids came regularly. And our leader, Mitch, said something I have never forgotten. Everything in life is temporary and changing, except Jesus Christ. I had many girlfriends then, but I didn't have a bestie. And because girlfriends would change according to whether their boyfriends were friends with Bob. And in those days, you didn't do things with girlfriends and like you had to have a date to go to any of the events that took place at school. So that night, in bed, I responded to the invitation to get to know this person, Jesus Christ, the God of hope. It spoke to my 17-year-old heart, and this relationship has been the most significant in my life in the last 60 years. So I'm getting old, and you know how old I am now. So where does hope come from? In Moms Connect this fall, we are looking at 10 habits of happy mothers. I can imagine each week, most of you are creating a happy habit of arriving here, where you can drop off your kiddos if you have them, and then you can have a couple of hours of sanity. Time for your needs to find expression in community of women, especially in your small group. A sacred, secure place to become authentic, to become known and share desires, hopes, challenges, pain and hurts and grief, and then to be held in prayer and prayed for. For some of you, this might be your first experience, an experiential acquaintance with God. One of the names for God is the God of hope. Hope is God's desire and part of his character. We each here have been created in God's image. And a few years ago, when I was sort of traveling the world with some frequency, the idea of image, what came to me was that we have been imprinted with God's image. And so I asked Julie Towson to come over to my house, you know, and she's a preschool teacher, let's work with this and make my imprint into this. And I think it's really helpful to, as a visual, to think we have been imprinted with God's image, his likeness, and he wants to fill this imprint with himself over the whole journey of our life as we grow in getting to know him. He knew us before the creation of the world. Each of you here are beloved, cherished, treasured daughters. We each were born with hope. Love lives in us and dwells in us. It is a part of our being. It's really a he. He is a part of our being. The embodied hope each of us have here in our unique personhood. Hope is something that is formed. That is probably the biggest thing that's been speaking to me. What came to me the other morning was thinking about, I could have given this talk through a different lens, but too late to do that. But what came to me was hope is a beautiful gem that has been faceted, you know, with all these different parts that make it. And these words have become foundational to me regarding hope. Getting acquainted with hope is a journey, an ever-deepening journey process as we experience our unique experiences and choices. It takes time and attentiveness, intention and alertness, becoming more present to each moment. We are either here, now here, or nowhere. You've probably heard that nowhere divides very nicely into two words, nowhere or now here. Hope needs to be cultivated to grow and to become authentic. Hope has a direction and a purpose of preparedness, a work to do in our lives if we're available, open, and in time to choose hope and the growth it offers. One place that it really talks about sort of a journey of hope is in Romans 5, 1 to 5. I'm not going to go there right now, but that shows that hope has a process. In hoping, we sow to an attitude of gratitude, pull weeds of negative thinking, perhaps self-condemnation, and explore and ponder the roots of the behaviors that began probably most early when we were young. And that can make hoping to be a challenge for some of us here and difficult. Training is necessary for hope to flourish. So getting acquainted with God's promises in the Bible is a good starting point to hope's texture, kind of thinking of a fabric, it just takes us all over the place. Hope is called a living hope in 1 Peter through the resurrection of Christ from the dead, which we celebrate at Easter. A living hope is active because God lives in us. Hope is formed in rest. By now, I feel pretty sure we have all experienced disappointments, pain in our bodies, getting old, fears, deep sorrow, and perhaps even severe loss, and boatloads of anxieties and stress. If I were a betting lady, I bet your souls and bodies are quite tired today and in need of rest. Our souls are the deepest part of us. And unfortunately, we haven't been tutored, or at least I haven't been tutored very much about my soul. And we need to pay attention to them. I treasure the words of Dallas Willard. The care and nurture of our soul and allow it to flourish in God's presence and become a gift to the world around us is our primary charge before we reach heaven. God is calling us. Come, all you who are weary and exhausted, come to me, and I will show you how to rest and to live in a rhythm of rest. Jesus is our example of what it means to be human. And our culture doesn't value rest very much or at all, because most of us are pretty involved in being productive, busy and busier. My soul became so exhausted in 2016 as I began caring for my father, who was in ages. So you wouldn't think that would be so exhausting, but it was. It was probably the most challenging thing I've ever encountered in that sense. And I said in January of 2016, I need a counselor, I need a spiritual director, and I need a massage every month. And I attended to that and got going on it. And I do see a spiritual director still every month, and I do get a massage. I'm not seeing counseling any longer. However, so, and my soul in the night, I wasn't sleeping. I mean, this went on for a long time. And I learned in the Psalms to talk to my soul like they did. Why is my soul so downcast within me? Why am I so exhausted? And as young moms, I know what it's like to feel exhausted in that respect too. Because when I was a mom, I chose, when I put the kids down for a nap, to rest or to spend time with God. And then when they got in grammar school, I chose to set the alarm and get up 30 minutes before they did. So that helped to really anchor a sense of my own being and my own soul. Hope is being formed in waiting, and hope only becomes durable through the course of suffering. Those are the words of Kurt Tompkins, MD. Hope is not left up to us. It is found in the capital A, another, Jesus, the hope of glory. Our faith needs to become a place of mystery and to grow in comfort with mystery. We need to learn to trust waiting. Patience and resilience take shape there. Our posture, God, I don't know what you're doing or why you're doing what you're doing, but I trust your character and I believe you are out to do good. It's a balance of familiarity and fear, treading on holy ground. And we're very vulnerable in our waiting in hope. And vulnerability is not a weakness, it is a strength. So may we grow in our communities here in being vulnerable. Growing to know and trust the character of God. The word know in the Bible that just started when the very beginning, Adam knew Eve. That word, and then the next phrase is they had a child. So that word for know, when we see it in scripture, is that intimacy between men and women. I have learned that joy and sorrow make good dance partners. My first experience of trust-filled waiting came when we moved to Chico in 1972 to be on Young Life staff. Bob and I were both 25. In the first month, we discovered that Bob had testicular cancer. I waited in Indel Hospital to hear the diagnosis from a doctor I had never met. I didn't know anybody except four college student guys that lived in a house in Chico. And so I knew because small groups developed in the late 60s, and we had begun to be a part of small groups. So I thought, okay, I've got to call somebody here to be with me. So this college guy showed up. And it was just, it was too long to go into all of it. But we had just begun to think about having children. And so waiting in hope began. My mother-in-law had Bob at 39, not for any of the same reasons, but there was a big difference between, a long distance between 25 and 39. So I felt very peaceful. I didn't need to get anxious. And then later I realized it was not just a number, but 39 was embodied in my mother's life. It wasn't just a number that was talking about distance, but it was in a living person. And so when I was 30, the same month, Kristen was born. And so Bob took little Kristen to the radiologist at Inlow Hospital to show him Kristen. And there's a lot more I could say about that. And then Lindsay came along, and then David when I was 36. But the most severe suffering came in September. Well, it began in May of 2002. As Patty sent, she's good at sending us pictures and cards. She sent one of a bad intersection ahead. And you saw this picture of this road, and it went like this. And then you saw what you couldn't see coming down here, another road. So there was a blind intersection. Bob was diagnosed with pancreatic cancer and died 4 months later. He was 55 years old, as was I. And we were really carried wonderfully by the body of Christ here. Hope is about being so widened that it changes our longings. After Bob died, I knew I had to go to work. That was one thing. I hadn't worked since before kids. Somehow I found myself in December at Berkeley Press, and Mark Laberton said something in his sermon that I think I knew in my soul, but I just didn't have the words for. He said, "We need to learn to live out of a larger story than our own circumstances." And so, in getting a job, I got a job that I didn't apply for. We were under the Western States Fellowship for our call in ministry, and I was picturing myself heading to Oakland to find something, maybe working with poor. But in reality, it was exactly what I was made for. My deep loss became a doorway to others' pains, though different from mine. And I began to walk alongside women, mentoring, companioning them, having Lexio groups, and then ultimately in time it has led to equipping urban educated followers of Christ in other nations in their spiritual formation. So in these times, I have discovered that joy and sorrow make good dance partners. Finally, hope needs and is formed in community. And that is Moms Counsels. Moms Connect spirituality and specialty. It's a place that Kurt Tompkins says to be seen, soothed, safe, and secure. And we're wired neurologically for that, and to allow for healing to take places in the deep recesses of our soul. rich friendships emerge here and growing attentiveness to the deeper development of hope in you and the world of your influence and extended families. The God of hope here for all of us wants you to know how much he loves you and how much he loves me. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May he make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May he lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Thank you.